This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Gee, I don't know about you, but I just get a great big lump in my throat every time I hear it.
The Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So, Lewis Black, do you know where Aaron Rodgers is?
He's at ayahuasca camp. Not my idea of fun.
It would be wild if that is, in fact, where he is.
Today's guests, Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Fox Sports announcer and voice of the Dodgers, Joe Davis. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Woo! That's the way we're rolling into this Rich Eisen Show here on a Thursday in June 2024 on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Odyssey, and more. Our podcast listeners tune in every day. Thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network, all 3 hours. And then there's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And all of them are trending in upward directions, and we are very thrilled always to have anybody wanting to connect with us in any way, shape, or form. Call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial, play the win-loss game, just talk about what's on their mind. We love that, and we always appreciate that, because I think all of us here can say that one of the reasons why we're connecting, one of the reasons why we're closing in on our 10th anniversary coming up later this fall, is because of our humility. It's because of our us being able to just realize the moment and staying humble.
Obviously.
And,
where are you going with
this? Well, here's where I don't know why you think I'm going somewhere.
Just keep it real.
Let's say this. Let's say one of us here in our studio. Let's say one of us here in our studio roots for a sports town writ large. And on the same night, one of those sports teams in this town inducts into its own Hall of Fame for its team, arguably the greatest player in the history of the sport and the winningest player in the history of the sport, and that player in the winningest history of the sport has left that team towards the end of his career to go somewhere else and win a championship, and in any way, shape, or form that you think for a split second maybe they'll split up for good. They come together in front of 6 banners that he helped put there, mm-hmm. with the head coach who thought maybe he's going to split up from the franchise because they've split up.
Right.
And he returns to give hosannas to this player that nobody thought he would give, because he never gave it in the 20 years that they won the 6 banners. And they all come together in front of about, you know, whatever, tens of thousands of Sullys and Fitzes who are there to celebrate.
Maybe. Yeah.
Let's say that happens on one night. Mm. And at the same time, the basketball team in that town that has been searching for its 18th banner for a very long time, decides to stick it to everybody who thought that that particular night would be the night where the NBA Finals, in which they won the first two games at home convincingly without a player who helped them win convincingly being hurt. He's not there. You thought maybe, just maybe, this would be the night the NBA Finals would be put into more of a competitive play. And that 18th banner would potentially be a little bit more in doubt. And instead, the opposite happens. Tom Brady goes into the Patriot Hall of Fame in Gillette. All the red jackets return. He puts the red jacket on. Bill Belichick's there. He's going to get a red jacket one day. Bob Kraft is smiling and beaming. And at the same time, the Tom Brady puts on the red Patriots Hall of Fame jacket in Gillette. Everybody going nuts on a June night. They're all probably on their phones, streaming, checking out what's going on in Dallas at the same time. And the Celtics putting the bang thing in the third quarter on a Mavericks team that makes a furious comeback in the fourth quarter, only to have the Celtics make every possible damn play on offense and defense to tell everybody in Dallas, not only is this not your night, it's not your year, it's theirs. And get the duck boats ready. That all happens on the same night in Boston. And a lot of us, TJ Jefferson, who aren't, you know, prone to be happy for those in our lives who love Boston sports.
Oh, okay, that, yeah.
Even though I'm married to one.
That's hard for you, I'm sure.
Children in my household have become such. You got to give it up. And that's the way I turn to Chris Brockman and say, how you doing?
Wow. That was this is the best day of my life. Can I tell you how amazing last night was?
What a night for Boston sports.
And stressful. Hey, look, gets down to 1 point, 93-92. A little stressful after having a 21-point fourth quarter lead. But as I've been telling you guys, you haven't been listening, I've been telling you since October, best team in the NBA, and they showed it last night.
Well, I know that. They are the best team in the NBA. 100% the best team in the NBA. And let's spend some time on that. The Boston Celtics last night going into Dallas without Kristaps Porzingis, who had been coming off the bench in the first two games, doing his Kristaps Porzingis thing of scoring and scoring from all over the floor and rim protecting and all of that business. He's out. Mavericks are back home. You see Kyrie start making shots that he didn't make in games one and two.
Kyrie was unbelievable last night.
He had his best game of the NBA Finals. The Kyrie that we had seen all throughout the playoffs to put the Mavericks in a position to play for the championship. He showed up and showed out last night. And then the second half starts, and the Celtics just assert their greatness. And they go up by about 21,
by 21 in the fourth quarter. 2 minutes into the fourth quarter, yeah.
And Luka Doncic started that fourth quarter with just two fouls. Mm-hmm. 8 minutes later, he's fouled out. But we'll put a pin in that for a second. The furious run that they make while Luka's fouling out of the game with four fouls in 8 minutes. Certainly for somebody who tweeted out at the top of the fourth quarter, get the duck boats ready. I thought I was being open to a little old takes exposed, freezing cold take retweet because the Mavericks got it down to one. Mm-hmm. But this Celtics team, man, and this is not in any way, shape, or form going into Jason Kidd territory here. But you can make an argument that Jaylen Brown is the best player on the Boston Celtics. You could truly make that, and I understand that that comes across maybe as a little shade in the direction of number zero of Jason Tatum. I just must say this. When they made that Garnett-Pierce trade that wound up with Tatum being there, who the hell knew when Jaylen Brown also came to this team that Batman and Robin had just been acquired by the Boston Celtics, and that you can go back and forth as to who's Batman and who's Robin.
I don't even think it's Robin. It's Batman and Superman. It's not 1A and 1B. They're both 1As. These guys have proven it. Jaylen Brown has proven it. I mean, if you didn't know who he was now.
You do big time.
Big time. And Jason Tatum's been first team All-NBA the last 3 years. These guys have been getting it done since 2018.
And with Brown, it's everything. It's a bit of everything. And then when he's not doing everything, Derek White is. I mean, what Derek White has become for this team is otherworldly. He makes every open three. Seems and the like threes it. That he makes is when you think you're making your run and you sit there and you say, you know, okay, it's not Tatum and it's not Brown taking the three. So we're coming up with a win possession wise here defensively. And this guy throws it in either A, doesn't touch a single ounce of the rim, or B, he banks it in like he did last night at one point.
The bank one was.
The bank job was the absolute gutter.
Yeah.
It was a gut punch. Because it was at the end of the shot clock.
Yep.
He's the one taking the shot, not Brown, not Tatum. He's a killer. And then defensively. And then just to show you how it's all clicking, Xavier Tillman played significant minutes last night. And he's playing significant minutes because Porzingis is out. He tossed in a three last night that made it seem completely inevitable that the Celtics are going to have a duck boat parade. And their perimeter defense is locked down. The switching, the perimeter defense, the way that the Mavericks had to work the clock down 20, 22 seconds just to get a shot off, the way that they had to have 6, 7, 8 passes in order to find even remotely a matchup that favored them defensively. And then that perimeter defense, and here's your difference, folks, because Luka and Kyrie had 4 more points combined than Brown and Tatum last night. But the Celtics shot 17 for 46 from three. They put up 46 threes, that's made crazy. 17 of them. And Dallas put up 25 threes. They put up 21 fewer three-point shots and made 8 fewer than the Celtics did. They were 9 of 25 from three. And in this 21st century, I mean, we had, you know, I played a soundbite yesterday when we were remembering Jerry West, when Jerry was here with Susie and Marshall Faulk talking about the three-point line and how that's clearly revolutionized the sport and people are going to be taking more threes and have been taking more threes. And he was talking about, obviously, a Warriors team that he helped guide as a consultant to a championship. I mean, that's it right there. If you can defend the three and make the three and put up considerable more three-point shots, the numbers will essentially say we're going to win because we're putting up more shots that are worth more than the twos. I mean, it's simple math, but you have to execute it and you have to have the people to execute it. You got to have the coaching staff sell it and it's got to be bought. And the Celtics are doing it in every possible way, shape, and form. And they have the look of a champion. And by that, I mean coming up with the play on the road. The other team has hope. They're the ones who are making the block shot out of nowhere. They're the ones who are getting the open look threes much easier than the other team because you're locking it down defensively on the perimeter. They're the ones who are making the open pass and make it look easy, and the other ones are not. That's the Boston Celtics right now, sir. And congratulations, dude. You got that going for you.
One game left.
Which is nice. I know you got to say that.
One game left.
And then there's the conversation about Luka, who fouled out 4 fouls in 8 minutes to foul out of an NBA Finals game. And boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's he's definitely hurt. He's apparently taking shots to the chest, literal, to help relieve pain. He's hunched over. He looks hurt. He looks like he's banged up. He's iced up, looking like Ben Roethlisberger on a good day, you know, and he's slow defensively. You could see it. And he is in the crosshairs. He looks different, far different. He hasn't played the same since Michael Finley took the beer from him. And the question is he hurt? Is he not? Or is he just not ready for the moment? That is the national conversation about Luka Doncic. And it was set by our favorite, Brian Windhorst, last night on Scott Van Pelt. I mean, when he just, I mean, Windhorst's superpower is his ability to analyze and dispense information at the same time and do it in a concise way that is authoritative. He's fearless, and I texted this to Van Pelt this morning, as a matter of fact. I'm sharing that, I guess, because I'm like, man, you are lucky to have access to him. I'm serious, because he was on with Scott. Look at him right there with his fingers out.
Someone tweeted last night, when Windhart starts pointing and using his
look
hands,
out.
You know something is
well,
going
well, you don't
down.
Want to be on the business
yeah,
end of
exactly.
it. You don't want to be, because and his armor is, he's fearless, and his armor is information and his knowledge and his ability to disseminate it. He's amazing, but he really laid into Luka, saying that Luka's a liability defensively, and his coaches and are begging him to stop complaining to the refs. On a sixth foul, you know, I guess it could go either way, but his feet were moving. You know, do you put yourself in that position?
Also, fast break. Brown's coming at you full speed. Like, what are you doing? You know you have five fouls.
This was Luka after the game about fouling out.
Luka, what did you think of the whistles that went against you in the fourth quarter?
I mean, I don't know. We couldn't play physical, so I don't know. I don't want to say nothing, but, you know, six foul in the NBA Finals, where basically I'm like this. Come on, man. Better than that.
I mean, I'll push back and say they couldn't play physical. I mean, there was an and one on Tatum, flushing one on P.J. Washington, and he was hacked, and they didn't even blow the whistle on that. And there were a lot of swallowed whistles last night.
A lot of them.
I'm telling there were only 36 fouls called in that game. And the Celtics had 19 called on them. Mavericks had 17.
Yeah, Mavericks shot two more free throws last night. I mean,
Mavericks had 17 fouls. Luka had six of them.
Yeah. It's a physical game. You know, I will say Jaylen Brown is kind of, TJ, we saw it at the end of game two. He's kind of perfected that subtle shoving the back, pull away, doesn't get called. But and Luka's getting bumped. Tatum's getting hacked on every drive. They're letting a lot go. But we saw that in the second half of this season, where there were less fouls called. Guys were getting less free throws. Yeah. Scoring was down. And I know you're not paying attention, Rich, but all three NBA Finals games have gone under. Under. Why is that? Less free throws.
Well, the
less
Celtics,
foul calls.
Celtics are also playing lights out defense. Mavericks haven't cracked triple digits yet.
Yep.
They've held them under 100 first three. So, I will just imagine. I mean, I'm not paying attention. I'm just, you know, but I don't have my head in the sand.
If
one team isn't cracking triple digits, I can only imagine what the folks in that town where Mo Green doesn't have a plaque or a signpost are setting as an under or an over.
New construction just started.
Hey, man.
On a new casino.
It's just Luka's hurt, and I you could use that as an excuse.
But the Mavericks had a recipe last night. Kyrie broke out, making shots, making plays. Right. P.J. Washington hitting three-pointers. You know, Lively had a double-double last night. But Gafford, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Kleber were a combined minus 40.
And that's what Jason Kidd said, that, you know, that he wants Luka to take have more of a rest on offense.
They can't do it.
Good luck.
Luka was plus 9 last night. Plus 9. he comes off the court, they immediately lose ground because the bench isn't getting it done.
He's one of the greatest players in the world, and now the conversation around him today is he's got to grow up more. You know?
I mean, that might be. I also think it's kind of crazy to say if someone says the moment's too big for him. If you go back and look, he's MVP of the EuroLeague at 18. The way those crowds are, though, Rich, those, and you've seen it, Chris.
Oh,
they
start
fires in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Like the thousands of people are on top of you.
I disagree.
It's a wild, wild scene to play in. So if you can make it through that, our fans are kind of tame. So I wouldn't say the moment's too big.
I totally disagree with the moment's too big. He's clearly the moment is fine for him. He rises to the moment, but he has to mature on the court.
His
attitude and his. Towards the officials, it's got to change. And you heard Windhorst, you know, kind of explain that a little harsher.
Oh, he sure did.
But I think he didn't tell any lies.
Well, you get the sense here that in order to win a championship, most of the time you gotta climb the mountain, get close, and get chopped down.
And we've seen Celtics do that over and over again.
And it feels like the Mavericks.
This is their
climb,
absolutely.
And this is the moment to get chopped down and then learn from it, maybe come back stronger if they're fortunate enough to do that. Similar to what happened to the Celtics a couple years ago.
Hey, LeBron got swept in his first finals appearance. It happens.
And you could just go on and on and on about Jordan getting to the mountaintop, how to get through the Pistons and so on. It's very rare that you just pop in, it's your first time there, and hello.
Exactly.
I know, but even the Nuggets had to, you know, last year, were coming off of previous, one would say, falling short campaigns.
No doubt.
Jaylen Brown basically even said that last night. This is what Jaylen Brown had to say after game 3.
Experience is the best teacher. All year long, we've been hearing about the Celtics of the past. You know, for the last 6 to 8 months, that's all we've been hearing is like we've, you know, all the different shortcomings we've had in the past. This is a new team. You know what I mean? We learned from those experiences. And in these moments, you could see that, you know, we didn't run from it. We stepped up to the plate and we found a way to win.
I think that's your finals MVP, gents, right there. That guy.
I think through 3 games, I think you're right. He's been awesome.
He's got one more to go.
And shout out to him for maturing and developing.
This after the signing the Supermax.
This is a guy that got stronger, got better in every phase of his game. His defense has been lights out this playoffs.
No doubt.
I'm so happy for
him. He is absolutely a superstar in this league. So that's our NBA Finals coverage right there. Albert Breer is going to join us in the middle of coming up in hour number 2. Where's Aaron Rodgers? And the Atlanta Falcons had a draft pick docked, or as you might say, forfeited.
Docked.
Right?
Patriots never had anything docked, Rich. It was always voluntarily forfeited.
Forfeited? We will review the Patriots Hall of Fame night in Gillette. We've got that. We've got a What's More Likely on tap today because I'll be Jim Jackson's in this chair tomorrow. Joe Davis, the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the voice of Major League Baseball on Fox. He will be joining us in studio.
Nice.
Hour number 3. But when we come back, let's talk to one of the veterans. This guy's entering year 10 in the National Football League of the Seattle Seahawks, Tyler Lockett. That's next. And you at 844-204-RICH.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. I like to think that even though I'm sitting here before you, 1 week shy of becoming a 55-year-old man, double nickel, I still feel like I'm the same kid growing up in Staten Island. I'm still the same guy. I'm still the same person who's, you know, I haven't lost touch with that. And if that's the case, talking professionally and I think accurately about the Boston Celtics, the way I just did on a show that as a young kid I dreamt of having. The fact that I just did that, a little part of that young kid just died.
I can feel it.
I understand.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely.
The one who had just hated Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Emil Carr waving his towel in his 5 minutes of one-point play, you know, acting like he's the starter of the Celtics.
I mean, Rich, who can ever
Jerry Schiesting jumping up and down because DJ just, you know, Larry Bird bailed out. The Celtics.
Now this is steal my bed.
All that. That guy, Johnny Most.
Underneath the DJ. Lays it in.
Me doing what I just did. Little piece of that little kid just died.
Dude, I get it. Remember who my sports basketball idol is? This man right here.
Yeah,
Julius Erving.
Yeah.
You know who he had to deal with?
Yeah.
That same Celtics squad. So
yeah.
I feel you. We're we're sympathetic.
I know.
Though.
So you understand. That's why if you've noticed, this portion of my outpouring it was directed at you.
I get it. I had to pop an in.
Not him. I can't even look at him right now.
I had to pop an in acid while you were doing it. That's how bad my stomach was feeling for
Guess
you.
What? I am going to be insufferable on Monday.
No.
This is why we need history to happen,
stride.
Rich.
It in stride. History's not going
to
happen.
I realize 156 times it hasn't happened, but we just need that one time.
To use that the analogy, history's not walking through that door.
Well, we can only hope.
It ain't happening.
God, if you're listening, help.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's talk a little bit of football. The Seattle Seahawks, as we all know, have a new regime and a new way of looking at things. So let's check in with a guy who knows quite a bit about what's happened before Mike McDonald took over the reins. Entering his 10th year now with the Seattle Seahawks, Tyler Lockett back on the program. How you doing, Tyler?
Doing pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Year 10. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it right. It's weird when they call me the old head because I still feel young.
Who's calling you old head?
Oh, man. Coaches, players. I mean, that's what happens when you're close to being one of the oldest on the team.
Well, I mean, you used to have a coach twice your age, too. You know what I mean? So now it's probably first time a coach around there has called you old head, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
How are things different with the new head coach, Mike McDonald, there, Tyler?
I think things are a little bit different just when you look at the structure of, you know, the philosophy of how each of how Pete and how Mike kind of go when it comes to coaching. I mean, the thing that I loved about Pete is Pete gave so much freedom. And I love that aspect of his approach, because when you give somebody freedom, they can't hide who they are. Sometimes you see who people really are when they have a number of freedom that they could be able to utilize to where you could say, okay, I see what this person needs to work on, et cetera. With Mike, I like the fact that he's bringing structure, because it's like, hey, this is who we are. This is how we're going to be. And you got to be able to tap into that, and you got to be able to buy in. And if you're not going to buy in, then you're pretty much not going to be here. And so I love that type of structure, because it almost like magnifies that college structure again.
So give me an example of the freedom that Pete gave you that might not ordinarily now be there anymore.
Well, I mean, when I say freedom, I mean, like, you know, I come from Kansas State, you know, where Bill Snyder kind of had like a military style. And now all of a sudden I go to Seattle and it's more of like, hey, like, I want you to be who you are. If you don't talk, you don't have to talk. you know, I just want you to be able to be at your best. If you're going to joke around all day, you can joke around all day. We're not going to hold you to a standard of where we think every single guy should be. We want you to show us who you are on the field, off the field, and we want to give you enough space and enough grace to be able to be that player. So if you talk trash, go talk trash. We're not going to stop you. That's kind of what I mean by that type of freedom. And what it did was it made people who come in, who comes in on our team, they think, oh, because we got this much freedom, it's going to be like this. But then they're not on the team. Why? Because you got to have that self-motivation and you got to be able to like push yourself and you got to do all these different types of things. And if you're not strong as an individual and have that mentality that I got that grit within myself, I don't need anybody to help me, then it's going to be tough for you to be here.
So, and again, I know asking this might come across as you saying one thing's freedom and the and that that's not there anymore might come across as potentially being critical of the new administration, in the same way that when I'm asking you, give me an example of structure that's there that wasn't there before, might be critical of the previous one. I'm not doing this to be critical at all. I'm just trying to hit on the head here. What Seahawk fans are probably wondering is how things are going to be different, or how things are different and how it might wind up during the season. So you understand where I'm coming from when I'm asking these questions. If can you give me an example of structure on that front of what's happening now?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not in camp and we're not, you know, in the season yet. So obviously it's hard to see what's going to stay the same and what's going to change.
Right.
But, you know, when I go back to structure, it goes back to like, you know, that military basis, like that military style. You know, like Mike talks to us and tells us stories about the military and stuff like that. And he, you know, I've talked to him and he's even like talked to me about certain movies. So when you kind of understand and look at kind of like how the military functions and how they go, that's kind of how our team is. So, I mean, when we're talking about structure, it's like, hey, man, like rather be early than be on time. Like if you on time, then you late. You know, when you go out there, it's no breaks. It's no, all right, we on field goal. Everybody that's not on field goal is chilling until the next series. It's like, no, every single person is going to do something however much time that we're out here, whether it's 2 hours, 2.5, it doesn't matter. Like everybody's going to be doing something for that amount of time. We're never going to miss a minute or 30 seconds. So that's why I said it's always somebody's always doing something. So we're not missing out on anything. So it's a really cool structure that he has going. I mean, obviously, it's hard to differentiate between the two because we've only had OTAs, and this is our second day of minicamp.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess that stands to reason Coach McDonald is not riding a scooter through the facility. That's not happening. You haven't seen that yet. Okay. You haven't seen that yet. What movie did he bring up with you?
I couldn't tell you. It was a 1985 movie. So
is it Top Gun?
Nope, it wasn't Top Gun. But, you know, I've talked to him about some of the movies that I had liked. I liked Lone Survivor.
Okay.
What's the one movie that they Unbroken? I liked Unbroken.
Okay.
So those were the two that I kind of talked to him about, but he showed me one. I just can't remember where it was, but they were fighting on the water.
Fighting on the water. 1985. Was it Hunt for Red October? Was it, I'm trying to.
This one, they all came in like little small boats. And then all of a sudden when they got there, it was a country that was already out there waiting for them. But the way that it looked was it was a group of people who were the forefront people. They went out there and tried to fight, and then they tried to take over that pier, because if they could take over the pier, then they could take over the war.
Okay. Do you remember who was in it?
Yeah. I was learning everything he was saying. So I couldn't really tell you who was in it.
I like it. So these are the conversations that you're having, team building, sort of things like that. And how is that sense for team building that you're feeling right now? Again, this is year 10 for you. You know what it's like to be in a tight-knit unit. You feel the same way right now, correct?
Yeah, I think our team building is different. I think, you know, obviously, like I said, when you look at both structures, the freedom comes with different types of team building, but also structure does as well, because when you look at all the things that we're doing in practice and in the meeting room, it's like we're all like going through this stuff together. So when one suffers, we all suffer. When one is playing in a high level, we're all playing at a high level. So it's like, because we're going through all this different type of stuff together, other people on the outside can't connect or can't understand what we're going through. So we got each other's backs. And I think the thing about it, too, is like we're learning how to be able to like be open with each other, like to where we understand what this person is playing for, what the next person beside us is playing for. And because we know that and understand that, it makes it a lot more easier to go out there and play with that person beside you.
And then one last for you on the new regime here, and then we can move on a little bit. Tyler Lockett on the Rich Eisen Show from this chair. I was scratching my head over the news that in your facility, a lot of photographs of the old times, since you're the old head, as we've established on this program, were taken down. And I was wondering, like, what was the purpose of something like that? And I got a lot of pushback from the Pacific Northwest saying I was overreacting to that. What's your sense of all that, Tyler?
Well, I mean, it's not a lot of the stuff that got taken out. So, I mean, you would kind of have to be in the building to see what exactly got taken out and what didn't get taken out. But, I mean, we still have a lot of the pictures that have really, like, telling stories just throughout the history of the Seahawks when, you know, Sherm made the big play. They still got other pictures where it shows everybody that's man of the year. You still got other stuff when you look at people that are in the Ring of Honor. So there's still pictures in there outside of the other things I said that are having like really great telling stories that shows you like Super Bowl moments when they beat the Denver Broncos. I think a lot of people was just talking about more of like, you know, the little paintings that they had that was on the wall, like the little art that was on the wall that we ended up creating. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that's what happens when you have a new coach. Like, there's going to be some things that are going to be different than everybody else, and you just kind of got to accept that, you know. So you can't – it's like if you're dating a girl and you move on to another girl, you can't expect that girl to do everything that your ex did, you know. So there's going to be things that are different. And you just got to be able to, like, renew your mind and just kind of, like, learn how to adapt to what's new.
Tyler Lockett here on the Rich Eisen Show. New offensive coordinator, you mentioned how things are kind of feeling like college. Obviously, I'm a Michigan guy, so I know Mike McDonald, prior to coming to you from the Ravens, was Michigan's defensive coordinator. Ryan Grubb, a lot of folks there are very familiar with because of his time with the Washington Huskies. What is your offense going to look like here, Tyler, that you can share?
I think our offense is going to be explosive. I mean, I think the crazy part about the offense is just how much information that we got to learn and how much we all got to just make sure that we're on the same page. You know, I think Grubbs is really, really smart, and you could tell just by the way that he explains his offense, by the way he understands the game. There's things that he talks to us about that's, you know, may be a little bit different than what we've heard before, just prior with our NFL experience. And so just being able to kind of like understand his mindset, understand why he has certain plays and why he does certain things the way that he does it, it gives us the opportunity to use that knowledge as we learn the playbook to allow other people to just stay in different spots. So now it's hard for teams to be able to figure out who's lining up where.
Okay. And Geno's mastery of this with you and DK and the rest of this team and Jackson Smith and Jigba, and obviously this running back room that's very young and talented. I mean, what's your expectation level?
I mean, I think everybody's expectation is to win a Super Bowl. I think, you know, that's why everybody plays, is they want to be that last team standing. I think, you know, for us, man, because everything is so new, it's like we got to take one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And just got to keep building and laying that foundation brick by brick so that we can be able to try to be the best team that we could possibly be. Obviously, you can't win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season, and you can't win the Super Bowl at the end of the season. You got to be able to win the Super Bowl by winning one game at a time. So I think for us, we just got to be able to focus on being 1-0 each and every game, and that gives us the best shot to win a Super Bowl. So I think that's the biggest thing, man, when you think about that and you think about expectation, is I think, you know, we want to be one of the fastest teams on the field. We want to be explosive. We want to be able to hit people and be physical. And I think we're starting to see that in OTAs even now as we speak.
A few minutes left here with Tyler Lockett entering year 10 of the Seattle Seahawks. There's so many things I want to ask you, so I'm going to try and boil down just a few with the few minutes that I have left with you. First things first is it's been a minute since you've returned kicks, but you have a vast, vast history of doing that. What's your opinion of the new kickoff rules and how things are going to look and the different styles that you can employ to take advantage of it, Tyler?
Yeah. I think for sure it's going to be a lot different. I think everybody's going to try to adjust and get accustomed to everything. But I think now, because everybody doesn't have to run so far back and because of where they're starting at now, you can put whoever you want to back there. Whoever's explosive, whoever is electrifying when they had a ball in their hands, you can literally just put them right there as long as they could catch a kickoff. And literally, they could do a lot of great things. It wouldn't shock me if it's a running back that's back there.
What about you?
Oh, if they ask me to go back there, I'll go back there.
Okay.
Year 10 or not.
Okay. I got you. You know, there's no I in Tyler or Lockett. You're about the team. And then last one for you. You always have something going on outside of football. What's going on? Anything going on with you want to mention here, Tyler?
I think the biggest thing, man, is, you know, you always want to be able to make sure that you're starting your career after football, too. Being able to use football to help start your second career. So, you know, of course, I've been doing the real estate stuff. So I got my real estate license in Texas, Washington, and in Oregon. And so, you know, I've just been doing real estate with that. I've been doing commercial real estate. I'll help people with multifamilies if they're looking for it, too. So it's really been fun, man. This is my second year where my real estate team out here, Live and Serve, is the official realtors of the Seahawks again. It's just those type of opportunities that you have where – it's like, man, I never would have thought that I could say that my team was the official realtors of the Seahawks. And so, you know, very thankful for the Seahawks to allow me to be able to do that, to be a part of that, because they do care about what your next plan is when you're done playing.
So backyards after catch, that's what you're saying that you're providing? Yard signs after the catch? That's their yak, pretty much?
Already doing yard signs now.
Very good. Tyler, appreciate the time and your honesty, and you're awesome. I always appreciate you taking the time for me in this show, as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I look forward to chatting with you again before the beginning of the season, if you'll allow it. That's Tyler Lockett right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just love him. He's great, man. Just very honest, and he was very patient as I was going down the wormhole of trying to come up with different ways to mix football terms in with his real estate venture. I think he was wondering how many more of these I got to sit through.
Man, I like that dude. That guy is like, he's your quintessential, like, four catches, 158 yards, three touchdown game. Yeah. And you look at your fantasy roster, you're like, wait, what? Oh, man, 60 from Lockett.
Yeah, I know, right?
And it seems like he'll something like that at least three games out the year.
Yeah,
like,
so good.
Yeah,
boom.
Yep. 3x1 is 3 bathrooms by 1.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta stop. Yeah. I gotta take a break. Get out of it.
Lockett luxury.
Price per square foot.
When we come back, it was a half roast of Tom Brady last night.
As Drew Bledsoe said, what's the difference between a month ago and tonight? Tonight we're saying nice things about him.
That's right. That's next. This is edition of the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Thursday.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
America starts the day with America in the morning.
Pending home sales numbers, they tanked in April, but there are
I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
High octane action in the dust, a new film puts...
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Amazon.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, I've had this sit next to me for about a week because this was the only envelope we couldn't get to when we did this last week. It's a residual check, so it's time for residual Rich. Hit it, please. All right.
Pay that man his money.
That's right. Here we go, shall we? Here we go. I've got this residual check right here. You'll have to guess how much it is. Here we go. It is from The Odd Couple.
Okay.
Three episodes of The Odd Couple I was
Three
in.
Three episodes. Jay Feller, you nailed this.
Eyes
time.
In Trouble, it- Make Room for Danny, and Secret Agent Man all combined in one check. Go for it, Chris Brockman. How much is it, do you think?
Let's see. I'm going to say, let's see. We won by how many last night? I'll say $18.18.
All right.
We're going for banner 18.
Jay?
I'm going to say $14.33.
All right. TJ Jefferson, closest without going over, obviously. What do you have?
I'm going to say $19.01, Rich.
All right. $19.01. You are all over.
Oh! Wow.
The actual grand total, the actual grand total right here is $7.83
for three eps
together.
I thought CBS was paid better than that.
I legit almost said 718. I'm not lying.
Are you serious?
I'm not lying because it would have been Jaylen Brown's number plus banner 18. I'm not lying.
Well,
I can kind of believe you.
$7.83. You would have won both checks.
Dang it.
Oh, lunch on you?
Being within a dollar. Sorry?
Dang lunch on you?
Yes, it is. I guess. Or part of it. Sorry that this comes up every time. Man, but there we go.
By the way, I was watching.
Another great edition of Residual Rich here.
I watched Primetime Prices Right last night. Somebody's price at the end was $68,000, and they still didn't bid enough.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets, everybody. Go and start buying tickets to anything in your area. Sports, music, comedy, anything you want. Theater. It's so simple to buy tickets on Game Time. Within two taps, you can buy tickets. But the best thing about it as well, it's not only the lowest price guarantee that they have, but you can also see the view from your seat. What does the stage look like from the seat, the ice, the field, and so on and so forth. I particularly like the all-in prices. I like to know exactly how much everything costs before I buy it. Event cancellation protection, job loss protection as well. You got to go check it out to make sure that you can take the guesswork completely out of buying any ticket with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Tom Brady went into the Patriots Hall of Fame on Wednesday night while the Celtics were in the midst of getting one step closer to banner 18, a banner night, if you will, for Boston sports. And it was all in the family, man. It was and the Patriots did it up. I know what a lot of these Patriots Hall of Fame induction ceremonies look like frequently. It doesn't fill up a stadium, and they don't have this huge stage with these beautiful couches. Mike Tirico was emceeing it. They didn't have any of that, I imagine, when somebody else went in. But this is Tom Brady.
Jay-Z came out last night. It was unbelievable.
This is TB12, man. And the red jackets were all out. That's what you get when you go into the Patriots Hall of Fame, is a red jacket. And there they all are, all the previous red jackets there. And Bob Kraft with Jonathan Kraft smiling, beaming in the midst of all of them. And some of them are actual Pro Football Hall of Fame players as well. They'll have a gold jacket with their red jacket as well. And Belichick was there. Belichick was there, man. And this is something else. Because Bill said what I think he probably thought for 20 years, but just couldn't say or get around to saying it because it was a coach-player relationship. And this is exactly what I think is as heartfelt as it comes from Bill. And the fact that he was there just a few months after everybody separates and parts ways to say this was pretty, pretty cool.
In conclusion, just Tom, want to say thanks on behalf of all the players, all the coaches, all the staff, all the people, the hundreds of people that are here, and the thousands of fans that are here. Thank you. And thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all you've done for me. And thank you for the example and model that you've been for all of us on a daily basis for 20 years. You're unbelievable. Congratulations.
I mean, how cool is that? And for those who are listening on radio, it's Brady's red jacket was on, I guess, a mannequin getting ready to or hanging there that eventually he would put on. Tom was sitting there in a chair just by himself up there. And this is what we've been waiting for, is the coming together here. And I don't know if the roast helped. I'm serious. I'm deadly serious. A lot got out in the form of a safe space of a roast.
I think you said it too. It was a big therapy session for all these guys.
Very therapeutic
Much
session.
Needed. Yeah.
But I also just think it's inevitable. I think the next time they have a full stadium for a Hall of Fame jacket ceremony in New England will be when Bill gets his. Yep. I think a lot of fans will show up. Obviously, a quarterback is different from a coach. But to hear Belichick say to Brady, "Thank you for everything you've done for me," is pretty awesome.
Oh, and the fans went nuts for Bill last night.
Of course they did.
He tried to start with his words. And he kept getting interrupted because the ovation was so loud and it wasn't stopping.
And they know he's next. And I think it's also a relief for a lot of fans that he did it. He was there. This also does lend credence to the whole sense that when he was doing a shot with Kraft and looked like he didn't want to do a shot with Kraft, it was from what I heard, he just didn't want to do another shot of tequila because tequila's not his bag.
Right.
And he had just done one
with Gronk.
It
was what was in the glass,
not who he was doing it with. Because he's back there. He's back there already. And it just lends credence again to what I'm telling you, that it's rare that a split between coach and franchise, player and franchise, doesn't somehow wind up water under the bridge when a retirement hits. And you thought, well, Brady's leaving for the Bucks. There goes Tom Brady. He won't be a Patriot for life. And Belichick and the Patriots part ways. He won't be a Patriot for life.
Right.
Because this is too hard of a feeling. And here we are in June of the year that there's a parting of the ways between Belichick and the Patriots, and he's there at this night saying this thing to Brady with everybody there, the Krafts, fans, the returning Red Jackets, just shows you that sometimes, a short amount of time can heal whatever wound there is, and maybe the wounds aren't as deep as we make it to be sitting in chairs like this or in seats like the fans were sitting in on Wednesday night in Gillette. And it's pretty cool. And I'm glad that they did this and that was a nice night in New England for Brady and the Krafts and Belichick and all coming together. That's hour number one here in the books. And, Favre going back to Green Bay, everybody thought that would never happen. It did. Rodgers is going to go back to Green Bay, folks. He's going to have that night in Green Bay. I think there's no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, again, just to bring it all full circle, I guess, in a way, not to go negative here, but Susie brought it up yesterday as well when she was talking about Jerry West. I can't believe that man left this earth with him and the Lakers not having a rapprochement of any sort. Like, they were fractured. Yeah. So rare for that to happen. Yeah. It's such a shame. And it just goes to show anybody that's out there that time is fleeting, even though Jerry West lived 86 years. Fleeting. And life's too damn short. Too damn short. But I'm glad Brady had his moment with Belichick to say that. Could you imagine if Bill had ever said that to him, like in year 8, year 10, year 15? But
and maybe
it's different.
Maybe he did, and nobody ever knows. Or
but this is the sort of stuff that you do say to a retired player, and those are the banners that are up there. I mean, what is the stage was beautiful, and the banners were lit right behind him, and the jacket was there.
It looked incredible.
And this is a moment in that beautiful new stadium with those banners that are raised on this stage that those guys, Kraft, Belichick, and Brady all put together.
On with 6-12.
On some, that? How about that? With all the returning Red Jackets who had a part to do with it as well. Nice night, everybody. Albert Breer coming up next.
Every story eventually comes to an end. This June, hear the final episode of season 2 of the hit podcast series, In the Red Clay, Durham. In the Red Clay tells the unbelievable true story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history. In the podcast that people are calling riveting, incredibly moving, captivating, and addicting. Binge seasons 1 and 2 of In the Red Clay now, wherever you listen.